Prophet NYC Radio Live.
Alright, you are listening to NYC Radio Live. I am thrilled to have the leader of the Debo Band, Danny McConan, here. Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I know your time is short. You got a gig in just a few minutes. So I guess I wanted to jump in on a few things. I mean, for people who haven't heard, it's an 11-piece ensemble, something like that?
Yeah, we usually just say large ensemble because it varies from 9 to 12 pieces. On record, our last two records, we both have been 12-piece ensembles, a vocalist and 11 instrumentalists. And these days, we're just calling it a large ensemble. But yeah, 10, 11, 12, right, in that range.
And you draw on deeply on kind of the music of Ethiopia, and I guess a lot of people here have gotten exposed a little bit to some of the funkier stuff that came out, but there's you guys are reaching past that to a bigger a wider scope. So maybe can you tell us a little bit about all those other other music?
Yeah, well, there's lots of influences, and I'm glad that you're bringing it up. There is a period in the early 1970s in Addis Ababa where you had, sort of younger bands, guys in their 20s who were really influenced by, James Brown, some of the funk and soul that was coming out of the United States. And you had singers who were emulating James Brown and, but they were slightly older ensembles and musicians from, say, the previous generation who had come up in these state-sponsored bands like the Police Orchestra, the Imperial Bodyguard Band. There was also a theater orchestra called the Haile Selassie Theater Orchestra. And those bands were a little bit more formally trained and had kind of played... I think stage music is a really good term for it. Sort of a highly orchestrated, sophisticated arrangements. So in the early days of Debo Band, we were entirely acoustic. And I think our biggest influence was those stage bands, those theater orchestras. And the early instrumentation is similar to what we have now. We added, I think we had three strings at the time. It was two violins and a viola, a French horn, a trombone, two saxophones, accordion, sousaphone, and drums. That was the early instrumentation. Now we've added in electric bass to sort of supplement the low end of the sousaphone. We've added in electric guitar, have lost the French horn but added in the trumpet. And lost one violin and added I don't know if I mentioned electric guitar, but added the electric guitar. So so now it's a little bit more of that kind of rocking sound. But as far as the scope of the music, not just the instrumentation, but, there are these, traditional song forms which are more folk-rooted. And that music... even had a lot of that music had traditional instrumentation such as like a one-stringed fiddle or a six-stringed lyre, a bamboo flute, and that music also really has influenced us. So there's a lot going on in 1970s Ethiopia, and it wasn't just the funky side. So we have tried to touch on all the corners. But our new album sort of exploits the more rocking side, the psychedelic thing that was always there, but we sort of cranked it up a little bit, amplified it. And also that's our sort of kind of like the American more like almost kind of bringing more punk into the music. Mm-hmm. Although I've heard some pretty punk, traditional bands in Ethiopia. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, I think the punk element has always been there, but we just could have kind of amplified it.
And by punk, you mean aggressive?
Edgy music, fast tempos. And also, you know, kind of the aesthetics, a little bit rough around the edges, you know? Some of the traditional music is a bit rough around the edges.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a track that you want to share with us now that's kind of...
I mean, I'd say the opening track is a really good a good one. It's an original by our trumpet player, Danilo. And the track is called L.A., which it's a Gurage style track. Gurage is one of the ethnic groups in Ethiopia, and their music is kind of the punk music that I'm talking about. It's already kind of up tempo, driving. It's the fastest music, some of the fastest music in Ethiopia, in terms of beats per minute, and a real drive to the music, and even the dance is sort of like it's looks a bit similar to sort of a like skanking kind of punk dance. So it's a lot of fun.
All right, and the albums the
album name? Is called Era Gobez, and it's on a label out of Chicago called FPE Records.
All right, let's check out LA. I know that Global Fest has been a kind of supporter of yours. You've had a lot of support. And they brought in a band from Ethiopia, and that was the first time I saw the dancing.
Right.
And I was floored, particularly by, I don't know if this is a big thing, but there was like this heart-centered kind of movement that I'd never seen before, that it was...
Yeah. Well, so those dancers we've actually worked with, we played at Lincoln Center with that group, Fendika, in 2011. So we've actually been working with them since 2009, our first time in Ethiopia. We began collaborating with them. And then in 2010, we went to a festival in Zanzibar with that group. So we're old friends with those guys. Malaku is their lead dancer. And, you know, Ethiopian dance, especially the sort of Amharic style dancing, and most of our music is sung in Amharic, and it comes from the Amhara people in Amhara region of Ethiopia. Most of the dance is like a sort of above the waist shoulder dance, but there's also a lot of energy that's happening, like almost all of it's happening between the waist and the shoulders. And then there's some sort of head independence that goes on, and a lot of neck sort of calisthenics. But yeah, the dance is, I think it's unique in African dance in that the feet are more or less stable, and you kind of pull up from the energy of the earth and then, you know, kind of release it into your, or release it out through your chest and your shoulders. And, but that's only one of a number of dances that they do. They also, Malaku and his dance partner Zinash are also great Gerage dancers, like the track LA that we just heard. And I'm sure they did one of those songs at Global Fest. I caught the second half of their set and I didn't see all of it. But yeah, they're doing another tour of the US this summer. Everybody should check them out when they come through.
Yeah. And to you, I mean, this is an obvious question, but to you in that particular heart-centered dance or in some of those other, is that is there kind of like a philosophical metaphor going on there? Like that, is there something that they're going for? Like you're saying, grounded at the feet? And
yeah. I've heard some folk stories about, you know, like where the, you know, where some of the movements come, like, and I've heard something about various movements being imitated by, being imitations of animals. But I mean, you know, it's not something that's widely talked about. And I don't think there's a philosophical message that is, like colloquially understood. Mm-hmm. Dancers may have some deeper stuff that they're not revealing to the musicians, but, yeah, I wouldn't say that
so it's not explicit.
It's like not explicit. No, not like maybe in other forms.
Yeah. Right. And while we got you, I would just love if you could tick off a few names for us who want to delve deeper into Ethiopian music. You know?
Yeah. I mean, one of our biggest heroes actually just passed away a few weeks ago. In early April, I believe. His name is Getachew Mukria, and he performed extensively with The X, a punk band out of the Netherlands. So if you look up Ethiopian saxophone, The X, mm-hmm. There's lots of music that you can hear from him. He had a volume on the Ethiopique series. It was number 14. And so he's a saxophonist who played the saxophone as if it were an Ethiopian traditional instrument. And I think in many respects, the saxophone is a traditional Ethiopian instrument, a classical instrument from Ethiopia, in the same way that, you know, the accordion is like integral and classical or sort of indigenous to Zydeco music or indigenous to Tejano music. I think the saxophone has kind of reached that level in Ethiopia, mm-hmm. and it was through people like Getachew and others. But the saxophone is a really important instrument in Ethiopia. So when I play the saxophone, I'm definitely channeling Getachew. Some others, there's a great arranger by the name of Girma Bayene, and he's actually in the process of releasing a new album with a band out of France called Akaliwabe, and he may be touring the States later on in the fall of 2016 with a group out of DC called Fidel Band. So he should be around.
And his name one more time?
Guillermo Bayene.
Guillermo Bayene. Okay. And so he's put that on the site.
So. Yeah, he's the composer of a very famous Ethiopian song called Musokawi Silt, which is like if there's a standard of the repertoire that has been covered by everyone, it's Musokawi Silt. I mean, Auntie Ballas has played it. This group called Secret Chiefs 3 has done a cover of it. You know, there's any number of sort of remixes of that track. The X with Getachew have recorded it. Debo's recorded it. So it's a song composed by Girma. And then, you know, when it comes to singers, you know, I think the top of the list right now is Mahmoud Ahmed. And he's pretty well known. Mm-hmm. And should be a superstar of African music. He had an album that was reissued by a label out of Belgium called Cram Discs, and it was reissued in 1986, the same year that Graceland came out. And so there were some critics hip to it, like at that time, mm-hmm. and there were some people who were actually saying that, you know, that that his record called Aramella Mella was like the breakout African record of the year. Of course, you know, Paul Simon's Graceland was a monolithic, you know, album, and it kind of overshadowed everything. But Mahmoud Ahmed is someone who's still singing, and he's in his 70s, possibly even early 80s, but he's got a golden voice and still lots of energy. So those are just three names out of dozens. Wow. Who are influences of Debo Band, and you know, we've reinterpreted their music on a number of occasions. We actually do a song that Mahmoud Ahmed sang our record called Jegwal Na Betwa. He didn't compose it, but he made it famous. So that one could be a good one to listen to.
Sure. Yeah, let's check it out.
Yeah, the religion.
All right. So speaking of singers, I'm very curious about the. It seems like Ethiopian music has a very distinctive vocal style. I'm guessing that there's an influence from the Middle Eastern, from Yemen or something like that, getting in there. But particularly, I was wondering if are there different modes like maqams or certain scales that keep coming up in the folk music?
Yeah. Ethiopian music, sort of the modal theory isn't as advanced as mm-hmm. what you would find coming out of Arabic music and the maqams. There are far fewer of them, and the Ethiopian modes are pentatonic, so only five notes, where the maqams are seven or more mm-hmm. notes. So the most commonly used ones are called they're four: tizita, Ambasal, Anchihoye, and Bati. But all four of those can be modified, by like adding a flat to one of the notes. And then you have, Tizita minor, Bati major, Bati minor. So there's some, so in that way, there's a bit of that kind of transpositional, these modes can sort mm-hmm. of, can kind of move into darker spaces, or brighter spaces if we just think about what lowering of a pitch or raising a pitch could do, and obviously that's culturally constructed, what a sort of a happy sound is versus what a more somber sound is. In Ethiopia, it's actually the happiest music, the most celebratory music is actually most of that comes from a mode called Anchihoye, and that mode is the most brooding, dissonant. It's actually a diminished pentatonic with a major seven. So for those, so it's a really, really interesting sound. And a couple of the songs on the album use that scale. Yalanchi would be a really good one to check out. In Yalanchi, so it uses this Anchihoye scale and this scale is the one that's used for wedding music and for for New Year's and that sort of thing. So the celebratory music, the music of joy and of these sort of rituals is this sound that we hear on Yalanchi. But I'd say that as far as the singing and the modal system of that we're talking about, it actually comes from the Ethiopian liturgical tradition. So it comes from the Orthodox Church, which goes back to at least the 6th century AD in Ethiopia. So Ethiopia was Christian before most of Europe, or any of Europe, I think. As far as influences from Yemen, I would just say that that what was happening in North Africa and the Middle East and the Horn of Africa, that there was a lot of exchanging happening over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years. I mean, they found Greek coins and some Ethiopian, excavation sites, ancient Greek coins. So I think it's safe to say that those lines are very blurred. But I think that most of that, the sound of Ethiopian music, this distinctiveness that you're talking about, mm-hmm. comes from the Ethiopian liturgical tradition.
Wow. That opens up an entire whole line of questioning, which we don't have time for, but that's amazing. I mean, I know that Ethiopia, I've been told, in terms of the archaeology and that kind of stuff, is kind of unparalleled.
I mean, the most famous sort of structure in Ethiopia is this rock-hewn church that's built straight out of, I mean, it's straight down into limestone. And apparently it was built in 2 years, which is no time at all. And archaeologists have no idea how it was constructed.
It's this underground church.
It is underground. It's just built. It's at the top of a hill, and they just built a church straight down into the rock. So to get to the church, you have to climb down underground. But there are actually 12 of these churches in this city called Lalibela. And it's a really far out, you know, site. I mean, I've been there and, it's definitely one of the wonders of the world. And I think those churches were built somewhere around the 10th or 11th century AD. But then there's also like Portuguese style castles from the 16th century and other parts of Ethiopia. So just it's a really fascinating place archaeologically and architecturally. And then there are parts of Ethiopia. Actually, the song that we heard earlier, Jegwal Nebetwa, actually talks about this city called Harar. And that's in the eastern part of Ethiopia. And that's where there's a strong Arabic and Muslim influence that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. And there they have like one of the oldest walled cities in Africa. It's all like, I mean, it's like basically walled to protect, you know, to protect this little sort of Islamic part of Ethiopia when the rest of Ethiopia was Christian. And that goes back another several hundreds of years. So, there's we also do a song, a cover of a Harar Police Orchestra song called Yachat, which is another one of these kind of punk things that we kind of got into. We really do try to touch and explore, the corners of Ethiopia musically, geographically, and this is only our second full length record, and frankly, it's like we have only scratched the surface, you know.
Right.
Still lots more sort of collaborations and projects to explore.
Yeah. Well, the big show in our area is May 18th. Is that correct?
Yeah. Brooklyn Bowl with Auntie Ballas.
Wow. Yeah, and what a great pairing that is, because both of you guys, you know, there's so many similarities. You both explore and update, music from Africa, but it's also like this undeniable thing that, like, even if you don't know any of the history, you haven't been exposed to this type of music, like, they're going to be dancing,
It's funny, every time I do an interview, like, there is a lot of context, and I could talk about it for a long time. But I mean, at the end of the day, the music is there to be felt and danced to, and like to feel the spirit of the music and to be uplifted by that, and to see and feel the joy that the music creates is why we do this. It's a lot of history and a lot of sort of politics that goes into the song selections, and I mean, but that's like the intellectual kind of part of it, and I think the two are connected, certainly, but you know, when it comes to live performance, we're feeding off the energy, and we're there to give 100%, you know, to like create a party and just have one of these celebratory kind of experiences. And and we just lost, you know, Prince, who I think, you know, he's an artist who I think really embodied that, you know, was, you know, all about getting people to like celebrate and to, you know, we're all in this together. You know, that this is like, life is tough. Let's have a good time when we can, you know.
Amen to that. All right, Danny McConan, thank you for stopping by.
Yeah,
thanks for all your hard work. I know it's not easy keeping an 11-piece or 12-piece large ensemble together, but you guys are killing it. And more to come.
All right, thanks, David.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
ጭቢሉኝ ሄድኩኝ በድሬ በፍቅር ተስፋ አልቆርጥም ብዬ እንከራተታለሁኝ በሐሳቧ ተውጬ